Welcome to My Take on It with Your Angelic Karma. If you are interested in sharing your story in a future broadcast, send an email to yourangelicstories@gmail.com. Here she is, folks, your host, the one, the only, the also beautiful, Your Angelic Karma.
On this Friday night, do y'all remember the dance, the wave? If you're old school, you remember the wave. And what I mean by old school is around my age. I'm in my late 40s. And welcome back to My Take on It with Your Angelic Karma. Today is Friday. Well, tonight is Friday, July 9th. Bien bonitos. Hoy es viernes. El nueve de julio. And I'm going to talk about a hot conversation. And it's a question. Of course, there are going to be different answers, different opinions. I want to know what you think about this. I've come across this a lot. I've heard people speak on it. I've read about what people say about it. It is surprising to me. And it's something else that I do not resonate with. And yes, we are live once again. So welcome back. We are live. And I want to take time out to mention and say thanks to Spotify Radio. Thanks to iHeartRadio. Thank you to Spreaker, most definitely. And thank you to all the other podcast platforms that the podcast is on. Off topic a little bit from the topic, I want to say I started a podcast channel. The name of it is My Take on It with Your Angelic Karma. I started it yesterday, July 9th, where all the podcasts that we do here on iHeart, that we do on Spreaker, that we do on Spotify Radio, and all the other podcast platforms that I keep forgetting to name, but I am going to get that list of names. I'm going to be uploading them. They're going to be uploaded to the new podcast YouTube channel. I'm going to figure out how to go live over there. But it has to be through these platforms because this is the home of the podcast. So I have to connect it and be live simultaneously through the podcast platforms, but also through the YouTube channel so they can be included on the live and they don't just get the after recorded version like that. So I'm going to be working on that. Now, this is a question that is something else that I can't wrap my mind around like that. And that bypassed me, that is different than my thought process, that is different than how I grew up, and something that fascinates me, and I cannot believe this thought process. I cannot believe that this is actually happening and that people follow this and have this thought process like that. I don't understand this type of interconnectedness. And I'm too old for it. Hell, I'm almost 50. It goes above and beyond my head. So you're angelic. Come and start talking about it and be about it. Tell us what you're talking about. That's probably what you all are thinking. The question is, do some black women feel, African-American women, some feel rejected or upset or rejected or insulted when they see African-American men dating outside of the race? And I'm putting quotation marks around race because the information out is that race does not exist, that race itself is a social construct. I disagree with that because if race was a social construct, we would not be having these types of questions and people would not be clicked off so much, which is also something that is like, it can't be a social construct. And then people on the same hand say that they like being around people that are like them or look like them. Okay, well, that means that, okay, it's not a social construct. There are obviously differences that you're seeing and that you think that that specific group only has that commonality, and that's why your preference is to be around them. Be it friendship, be it where you live at, be it who you date, be it who you talk to, be it who you feel comfortable around. So I have an argument against that also. Now, so that is the question, though. We're talking about romance, and it's strange to me as a multi-generational mixed woman, like I always told you that all of that I am. I even came on, I tell you all the background history of my family. I tell you a lot of family stories. I've told y'all on the podcast my family background, my mother's side, my father's side. I even read my genetic test online on the podcast live because I took it. My cousins had already taken theirs. I took it to see if it matched along with the stories my mother told us, and it most definitely does. Now, so we have where, okay, and I'm from a small town in Georgia. And when people look at or think about multi-generational race mixed people, and I can make a podcast by itself with this, their mind always goes back to slavery. No, some of us are multi-generationally mixed. That may have been the start, but our own families kept it up until my parents and many African-Americans, quotation marks, their parents did this, their family did the same thing. It was kept up generation. We're not first generationally mixed, like a first generation biracial person, meaning the mother would be of one race, the father would be on the one race, and that's a first generation. We are multi-generation mixed, meaning the family kept doing it. The real type of swirling was happening like that. So then a lot of things, and I feel that with me being Southern from the South, a small town in the South, and being old school, I'm in my late 40s, that's almost 50, that I should be, when I read things like this or hear things like this, I should not be surprised, but I am surprised. And maybe it was because of the mindset. Maybe it was because I grew up as a loner. I never really clicked in, so I really don't feel community like that. I grew up as a loner. I told you all the past history, how even my grandmother, my father's mother, she was African-American. We grew up around her in my small town in Georgia. My mother's biracial, and she comes from a multi-generationally mixed family, though. So it's where we grew up around my grandmother and my mother's side of the family. Also, my grandfather, my grandmother on my mother's mother died when I was a little girl. Now, my mother's father, we grew up around him until he passed away, like that. So, and we grew up around my mother's husband, which is my father, his mother, her husband. My grandfather died when I was a little girl. So, and she was African-American, a very conservative woman. I told you all the story about how when we grew up, we were now not allowed to linger far away from the family. She didn't allow people from the outside coming to the house. My grandmother didn't. She didn't allow that. She didn't raise us. My parents did, but my grandmother was that way. Her family, I told you all, she came from a family that was kind of well-to-do in a small town that we were from. My grandmother did. And her family owned homes and property, and they rented them out to people on the black side of town. But she was, and my aunt and my uncles, they were the type of people where we stayed with family. You couldn't have friends over. They didn't want you to go to people's houses. When you got of age, especially the men, my grandmother sent them all to black universities. When they got of age, they married women that were not from that town. Like my dad married my mother. She's not from Georgia like that. My uncles married women after the university they found at the university like that. The cousins, they went to the same black university like my uncles did, like that. So that was the family way of my grandmother's side of the family. So we couldn't go to friends' houses after school. People couldn't come to my grandmother's house. She wasn't like that. You can't do. So I never really got the feel of community or the feel of needing to follow protocol that the black community was following. And then with my mother being biracial, she got along with my grandmother because they had the commonality, as I told you all many times on the podcast, of both talking about their family. They love talking about their family history. They had that in common, so they became very, very close on up until my grandmother died, which was in 2014, 2015. That was my father's mother. My mother came very close to her because my mother liked telling stories about her family and upbringing and her mother and father. And my grandmother, my father's mother, also would tell stories about her family. The stories that my grandmother would tell, I would tell you all, they were very happy stories. She was a very happy woman. She was Georgia Southern Baptist religious, but she did not try to make anyone else religious, but she was Georgia Southern Baptist religious. And she was very happy. She was very happy when she talked about her childhood, her upbringing. And I think she was very happy with her life like that. Now, so my mother would talk also with her about her family and things like that. So they had that in common. So they became very close like that. My mother would go see my grandmother every Sunday and talk to her at least 4 or 5 times a week on the phone. My mother would be calling her, or my grandmother would be calling, things like that. My grandmother was a true matriarch. Now, my mother, as you all know, she came from a different type of family. She's from Florida. She came from a heavily mixed race family and a very beautiful woman. Her mother, my grandmother, had 12 children, 9 girls and 3 boys. My mother is the 7th child, like that. So it was very different growing up. So I did, and my mother was a very close-knit, family-oriented woman. No friends coming over. You're not going to anybody's house. They didn't like that. She was just like my grandmother. It was that way. So I never really got that feel of, well, you're a part of the African-American community, and the African-American community thinks like this, and you're supposed to think like that. Also, if you don't think like that, they get to tell you where you're wrong at. So because I didn't grow up like that, I stayed to myself. I went to school. I got married. I went to school and work at the same time. While I was married, I had children. I raised children. I divorced. I got married again up until 5 years ago. Now, and plus, because this is an interracial question, and I've been interracially married, I was interracially married for 22 years to a man that is considered white by American standards, but not American white by culture. He's from a different country, but he's also considered white, European, like that. And we were married for 22 years. I lived in his country for 9 years, as you all know. And then we lived the rest of the years here in the United States up until 5 years ago. And I met him here in the United States. So it surprises me what people think and opinions are, especially in the black community, quotation marks, about interracial dating, and we're in the 21st century, and this is 2021. And I'm like, I didn't get the memo, and I'm glad I did, because I'm not accustomed, and I wasn't trained that other people could tell me what to do like that. I don't have that kind of connection with the community because of how I grew up. My parents weren't telling me, well, you're supposed to be like this because everybody's like that. That is this color, and we think like this, and if they get to tell you where you're wrong if you don't think like them, like that. So I never got that type of raising or like that. So it was quite different. And I had a mother that was very honest about race and the good, the bad, and the ugly of it, no matter what, like that. I talked about her all throughout the years on the podcast. Now, la pregunta es, ¿cómo te sientes cuando ves a alguien de una raza diferente saliendo con alguien de tu raza? ¿Qué sientes? ¿Cómo te sientes? Más específicamente, ¿cómo se sienten las mujeres negras cuando ven hombres negros saliendo con mujeres de otra raza? That is the question. Now, so how do you feel? And I'm going to be direct. What gives you the right to feel? Why do you feel that you have a right to feel anything? Like, okay, because if I saw an African-American man with a whatever woman, I wouldn't think anything about it or care about it or feel one way or the other. I wouldn't take it personally as he's rejecting me. Why would I put me into that? Why would I put myself into that equation? And as I stated, my way of thinking could be because of how I was raised. And I was 22 years in an interracial marriage, but I was also raised to not know that I was supposed to be following some type of community rules. My parents didn't tell me that. My grandmother didn't tell me that. And she was African-American. Like, they were, you associated with family, and that was it. You went to school and you left those children at school, and we were raising you. It was family. And it wasn't about stick with this and stick with that like that. It wasn't about that. It was about when you come of age, you make the decisions that are best for you. And hopefully it's about getting out of this small town. But they were not telling you what to think about any type of people like that. The family, my father's side of the family, African-American side, was very careful with what they spoke about in front of us as children like that. And my grandmother, my uncles, my dad, they were very careful what they let us see, let us hear, let us be around. So it really wasn't that type of brain training that we had. So that may be why I missed the bus on knowing what I'm supposed to do and what I'm supposed to think as a part of the African-American community, quotation marks. So I would see, if I saw a black man with some, if I went out tomorrow and I saw a black man with someone of another race, I wouldn't think anything about it, about him. I most definitely wouldn't put myself in the equation of their relationship. And all the 22 years, the time period that I was in the United States with I dated interracial before I married this husband. I had already dated interracial. Then I married the husband, interracial, and it lasted 22 years. Now, nobody ever came up to me or gave me dirty looks or implied that I should not be with him. That was black. No black man ever gave, and I would see, hell, it was 22 years. Of course, we came across black people. Nobody ever gave me dirty looks. Nobody ever implied anything. Nobody ever said anything to me about who I'm supposed to be with and why I can't be with them and why I'm supposed to be with that one. I never had those types of experience. Now, our marriage was in Texas. We did not live in Georgia. We lived in Texas. We were married in Texas. We lived in Texas. Then we lived in his country. Then we came back to Texas. So I guess this could be in different parts of the United States where you could get those types of looks. You would get those type of experiences. People would be looking at you that way. Now, but I have got a look recently. Now, I was dating. You all that have been with me and been with the podcast, you know that I started dating after a 5-year ending of a marriage. I just became open to dating 2 months ago and stuck with it. Because I would say that I'm open. It'll last a week. I would get distracted and start back working or focus on something else. I wouldn't stick with it. I stuck with it for a month and I started getting a lot of responses from people. A lot of feedback from men wanting to date me. Now, and that were interested. And I went out with a couple of guys. You all know the guys that know the story because I kept you all updated on the type of guys that I was going out with. I went out with the guy and he was white American. And I've never dated white American men, even though I dated a white boy, was married to a white man. And the other one was from a different country also, but they were considered as white. Like that, just not American culturally white. Both from different countries, both countries that did not grow up here, was not raised here, did not go to school here. They came here when they were adult males. I like foreign men. So I'm attracted to foreign men. So, and I would feel weird and strange if a black man came to me saying, "You can't be attracted to foreign men. You're supposed to be with a black." I would feel that he was out of his mind. I would feel that something, because we don't know one another. He doesn't know me and I don't know him. That's how I feel about people in general, despite their color. I didn't know that I'm supposed to click up. Okay. So I feel like, okay, you must be out of your mind thinking that just because you perceive us sharing a color, and think that we have the same history and background, that I'm supposed to be following some type of rules or unwritten way of being. So I would feel strange in that type of dynamic. So, but I was out, and we were out, he and I, last month, a guy, not the guy that you all know that I'm still dating, who is also white, but a different white one, okay? So, okay, and the new white one is white, but not, he's foreign white, again, like that. Okay, so this white one was white American. Okay, he and I were out, and we had been out a lot. We were out at a restaurant that he wanted to show me. We were walking towards the door, and there was a woman. She was white. She was sitting out in front of the door, and she did look at us. And we had been out. He and I had been out a lot, and we didn't get a second glance like that. Other than people looking at what I was wearing and men looking, and women looking, but at my clothing like that. Now, she looked at us, and I don't know if she was looking at it because he was white, and I'm obviously not white, or because of what I was wearing like that. I was dressed to the nines per usual. So if she was looking at that, and my body is like, it was banging, and I had on shorts. And I paused at the door where she was for him to open the door for me. And he opened the door. But she was looking at us like that. Now, and she was looking at him like that. So, and at us like that. So that's the only look that I've ever had. But the expression on her face was no expression. But she was most definitely looking. But if I would have saw me walking anywhere, even by myself, I would have been looking too. If I would have saw myself walking, I would have been looking at me also like that. So it's like, so I don't know what she was looking for. But I was like, you know, I should have winked at her. But it's just that that's it. So it's like, okay, now, so I don't know. Okay, now. And plus, I lived 9 years with my ex-husband in his country. And of course, people would look because that country was 98% just people that looked like them. So they were staring at me and I was staring at them. I was culture shocked because I had never been to a country that was 98% predominantly the people of that country. So I was staring at them. They were staring at me. Hell, we were both damn looking. All of us like that and both damn surprised like that. So is sometimes I was wondering if the women were bisexual. They would be looking so hard. So I didn't know. I don't know when people are looking. I don't know what they're looking at. I assume they're looking because I'm usually dressed to the nines and I'm usually looking good. So I assume that they're looking at me, even if I'm with the man. Like that. And he was handsome. My ex-husband was. So I was like, wait, they probably checking him out. They most definitely checking me out. We both look good. So I would chalk it up to that. I don't know. I'm supposed to take it as they're mean mugging. Like, are they mean bugging? So I didn't get the memo. So I could be kind of slow like that. But I read around and I watch videos talking about these types of things. And I wonder if it's a good place to be in, a good mentality, a good mind state, a good mental space to be in where you feel limited as it relates to your dating preferences by people that share a color with you or a culture with you or history with you that you don't really know. And you all are making decisions on who you date, how you date, how you think, what you think based on that culture alignment. Like that. So it's kind of interesting to me, so I'm going to talk about this a lot in the future. Now, we have Frederick that responds to this about the question of, do women feel offended or rejected, Black women specifically, or inferior or whatever when they see Black men with women that are not African American. Now, Frederick states, and of course, all Black women do. Some Black women probably don't even care like that. Some Black women probably feel, well, hell, why would I be offended about what somebody else is doing? But then you can have some Black women that feel that we are a race. We should be doing the same thing. We should be together dating. We should be sticking together. It's them against us. And it's an insult. Black women have gone through enough rejection. They can have that type of mindset. And it's Black men rejecting them again like that. Now, or this is just one more rejection, or this is one more not being chosen or being chosen, somebody else from a different race being chosen over Black women. So I do not sympathize with it, because my mother taught me when you have sympathy about something, it means there's no hope. Sympathy is what you send someone a sympathy card when a loss has happened. Okay, I do understand where you're coming from, though I don't get it and don't understand it and don't live my life by it like that. Now, so Frederick states, I've seen the looks when I walked around with my Asian girlfriend before moving to Japan with her. Now she's my wife. I could understand their anger and frustration for me dating outside the race. He says he understands African-American women that are angry and frustrated for him dating outside the race. So he feels that, so he's clicked up and feels that he's supposed to date inside the race. Okay. Reasons, he states. Number one, while I was in the Bronx, I was single for almost all my dating life before I met the missus. My interests were different from those around me. That's my fault for not wanting to compromise what I liked and what I didn't, but I wouldn't change it. So he's stating that he dated outside the race because of that. Now, that's what he's stating. I guess he's stating that he couldn't find, some black women may say, that care may say, well, you should have been able to find a black woman that had those same interests as the Japanese woman. Some black African American women can think like that. I don't think like that. But that's, I understand that that could be where some are coming from. Number two, he states, I couldn't dance, like, at all. When you're living in the South Bronx in the 90s, this limits your dating pool like you would not believe. So he's saying that he didn't have anything in common, or some things in common with the African-American culture, quotation marks, like dancing and interest. Number four, I hated hip hop because I thought it was misogynist and limits your dating options. Okay. Number four, I expected foolishly that a woman who liked me would reciprocate if I showed interest. I didn't like being a pest to women, so if I called, I called once and waited for a call back. If I didn't get one, I didn't keep pursuing. If stood up, I didn't set up a second date. I didn't know what to get a girlfriend at that time. I didn't know that to get a girlfriend at that time, you had to be persistent. To me, this interest meant no. That's not the way it works, apparently. Number five, I was around a lot of black women during this time. Many of them were strong, vibrant women. They just wanted a man they viewed as someone as strong as they were. I was not that man. Now that I am, they can see the man I am, but not the one I was. And it rightly angers them that I am not with one of them. But I wouldn't change that. I wasn't that man at the time I met my missus either, but I became him because she needed me to. I would have done the same for a sister, but it's too late now. Okay. So that's what he states from a male perspective. Now, you know, Anonymous states, no, black women are not feeling rejected or intimidated or inferior or angry at all. No, they feel relieved or nothing at all, because that white woman got the bottom of the barrel. She will most likely end up a single mother or having to watch him have sex with other men. Better he take his bad genetics and dump them in the white race. Black males who can't survive in a normal moral relationship usually end up with white women. They usually have low self-esteem and need a white woman to feel better about themselves. Now, I don't know about that, because I guess people in the black community, which I'm not in it, you can include me in it if you want to, but I won't be following the rules because I won't be thinking enough about it to look up what the rules are, like that. They think that people date outside of race because they have a lack of self-esteem. I've dated men, was married to one 22 years and dated men outside my race. And my self-esteem is... You wouldn't be able to find another person that is so high on their high horse than I am. But I admit it. And I've always been like this, with or without a man, like that, since childhood. So I don't think that's always the case. It could be in certain situations, but I don't think that's always the case. I think that's maybe what a lot of people want to tell themselves that makes themselves feel better about themselves. That's the reason somebody's dating outside of their race, quotation marks. That's what this anonymous states. They usually have low self-esteem and need a white woman to feel better about themselves. Once they realize they will never be white, that's when the crazy sets in and they go on serial cheating sprees and all that mayhem that normal families don't go through. State after state, city after city, all I met is fatherless mixed children with no black guy around. This does not happen when the mixed child's father is white or Asian. The white woman is no better. She laughs and giggles thinking she is better than the black woman, only to get knocked up and left herself, only to get pregnant and left. Just because you have a boyfriend does not mean you have a relationship. She's right about that part. I think this is a woman. And she's right about that sentence. The real question should be, do black guys get mad when they can't make black women mad? Black guys are always looking for a reaction from black women out in public, and they seem mad when they can't get a reaction. See, that has not been my experience, because I see black men and I don't know if they're expecting a reaction. I don't know what they're expecting. I don't think or guess or imply or assume anything about them unless I'm having some type of exchange about them. Or I just see them as I see any other person, somebody that lives on earth that hasn't doesn't have anything to do with me. Like, that is the way that I see people. I'm not caught up in people emotionally unless they're family or I'm romantically involved or emotionally involved with them. Everybody else is a stranger that can have a commonality to a certain extent. But when we dig a little deeper, we realize how different I am from them and they are from me, like that. That's the way that I see people. I've always been a loner. Now, so she states that black men are looking for a reaction, but get mad when they can't get a reaction from black women. I think this is why black male and white female relationships don't last, and white and Asian do. It's all built on slave insecurity and master reaction. Why would a black woman care what black guys do when black women are more compatible with white males and their relationships with white males last longer than even white male, white female relationships? She's maybe talking about the statistics of interracial dating, which in the United States, there isn't much interracial dating. People usually stay clicked up. That's why I debunked that race theory and race only it being a social construct. There has to be more to it than that with people staying as clicked up as they do. So what do y'all think about what she says? Do you think that she's right? Do you think she's off point? Do you feel the same? Do you not care? Are you a live and let live person? Do you take people as strangers until you build a connection with them one-on-one like that, no matter what top appearance similarities you have with them? Am I the one wrong? Am I the one confused? Or is everybody else confused? And I'm pretty sure there are a lot of people that think like me because you're never the only one. So I don't know. Somebody, Robert states, I'm not a black woman, but I do have four sisters that are black women. And a lot of people answer this question. I'm not going to read all of the answers. I'm not a black woman, but I do have four sisters that are black women. And I have been intimately involved with quite a few others. The answer is yes. They do feel angry. They do feel intimidated. They do feel rejected. Quite often when a black man has made it to the top, especially when it happens quickly, like in the case of athletes, black women feel that athletes or black men with money choose white women as their partner. There are very varying reasons for this, such as the perception of a white woman will legitimize the black man in a high-income world dominated by whites. Perhaps it is that the white woman can teach the man how to behave in the same environment. Whatever the reason, it is an act of betrayal when you consider that it was black women that made black men whatever he is today. They birthed him, educated him, fed him, supported him, washed his clothes, saw him through tough times, only to be denied his affection and appreciation in the end. Now it is one thing to meet a woman, fall in love, and that woman just happens to be white. It is something else entirely different to make a conscious decision to only seek out white women. That is rejection, he states. So what do you all think? Alexia states, some black women hate it, especially if it is a black man of high caliber. If he's a game banger, no loss. But a successful black man, many black women lose their mind over it when they choose white women or women of other races. If Barack Obama had a white wife, he would not have overwhelmingly received the black vote from black women. The fact that Michelle Obama was dark-skinned as well, that sealed the deal. Anything less than that may not have been president. So Alessia stated that the reason that the black community, I was in out of the country when he was the president and when he was voted as president and all through his presidency, I was not in the United States. Now, I came back afterwards. Now, she is stating that the reason that the black community, black women specifically, this is her opinion, overwhelmingly supported him is because he had a black wife. If his wife was white, they would not have supported him. So it wasn't about his policies. It was about him being black and him having a dark skinned wife specifically. So if he would have been black, well, he's mixed race. He's a first generational biracial person. So if he would have been that, what he is, and been with a light skin, multi-generationally mixed, a light skin, biracial, first generational mixed, black woman, quotation marks, he wouldn't have got the vote either. He got it because she was black and she was dark skinned and black. Okay. So, okay. Okay. This woman states, I'm a black woman and I do not feel betrayed or rejected whenever black men prefer any other race outside of black women. The only time I'm offended is when a black man abruptly tells me, assuming that I want them. So black men are just walk, and I've never had this experience either. I've never had a black man that just all of a sudden walked up to me and said, hey, you know what, I'm dating a white woman or Asian woman. I've never had that. Or I've never had a black man that assumed that I wanted him either. So you all are speaking as if black men are very confident when they're around black women. I have not had that experience. Maybe it's the type of black men that I've been around. I don't know. Or maybe it is because they get a different feel when they see me or I'm around them. That I don't click up or I don't think like that. Maybe they know that, like that. So the only time I'm offended is when a black man abruptly tells me, assuming that I want them, is the classic situation of me. Hey, do you have an extra pencil or pen? And the black man, no, I'm sorry, I like white women. It's like, what? I don't care. I just wanted something to write with. I don't want you. Okay. Okay. That's. And she also states, it's more so annoying, but I would never go home and cry that some black man is dating or marrying a white woman, Latina, Asian, Native American, etc. woman. It's not as serious as society makes it seem. And not as common either. Maybe I am less prone to be offended because I personally prefer Caucasian and Asian men, so I'm not even looking that way. And I'm going to change up the topic in the conversation a little bit, because I've also read and heard black women state that black men come to them when they date outside of the race, quotation marks. Black men come to them and tell them they're not supposed to be doing that and give them dirty looks and chastise them. I would feel like the person had lost their mind if a random black man came to me chastising me about my husband. I would feel that I stepped into some type of parallel universe. Or that something strange was happening. I've never had that type of experience. When I was married to my husband for 22 years, and when we would be out, the experience that I have had, I felt that black men were more open to come up to him because he was with me and talk to him, you know, and be like rubbing elbows with him like that. That's the way that I felt. Hell, maybe because those black men just didn't want me. I don't know. Maybe they're mad at the black women that they want. So that may be what the case is, like that. So if that's the reason, let's keep it there. Cause I was most definitely felt uncomfortable with a black man approaching me, telling me and chastising me about anything, let alone my choice in dating, as if me and him woke up in the bed with one another that morning, or he and I are in a relationship. I feel like that's something from a parallel universe. I do get hit on by black men. I told you all this in the past, but I get hit on more by other races of men, but I like foreign men. I've always liked foreign men like that. So I'm more into foreign men, but You know, so I don't know, but I think that the things that people go through and they talk about that they go through as it relates to who they choose to date is kind of not 21st century. It is not of the 21st century, the mindset. Is a very oppressive, restrictive mindset. But if you decide to be of that type, participate in that type of culture, mental state, it will be about what should be good for the goose, should be good for the gander, but you don't want to play those types of games. So it would always come back down to living and let living. It's the way people are raising their children. And it's also the way that people see themselves as individuals and see their worth and value as individuals. It's the women's most specifically. And you never let the man decide what your worth and value is, your self-worth and value is. You never let society decide what your self-worth and value is either. Be it because they're comparing you to other women and saying this, that, and the other about these women and it's causing you to feel low. You don't allow yourself to be mind fucked by society or by men or by yourself either. It's bad. One propels themselves and place themselves on the pedestal that they stand on. Okay, everyone, I'm going to end it there. Thanks for listening. Until next time, that's my take on it. Bye.